It is Jessie Lee. You can call me hashtag Boss Lee. Hello, hello. I'm excited to be here with you today. I'm going to talk today about mastering self-discipline. This is something that I think a lot of you could utilize, something that a lot of you probably lack and or need. And so what I would do if you are tuning in is I would make sure you have a pen and a paper and you go ahead and get yourself ready to take some notes. So I am going to be interacting with the audience the entire time. I do have multiple streams going, so I'm not at all trying to ignore you. I'm going to read as many questions as I can while going through the content. I like to be very much so a content-based trainer. I don't like the fluff or anything like that. So if you have not already followed me, make sure you follow me on whatever platform you're watching on. I am a wealth of business knowledge. And then also feel free to share if at any point in time you do get value. I will reach out to everybody who does share and say thank you. So I had an amazing day yesterday. I was with Ed Milet, and there were so many different distinctions throughout the entire day. And on top of hearing Ed speak and train and coach throughout the day, there were also a lot of other great speakers, and the networking was very, very good. So there were people there who have scaled many, many businesses in the multi-millions, some people into the billions. And getting around people like that makes you just behave differently, because you start to look at it almost as a mirror. Does this make sense? Like, you look at it like a mirror thinking, oh my gosh, I'm identifying where I am good. I'm identifying where I am bad. I'm identifying my weaknesses and my strengths. I'm identifying all of these different maybe things about me that I could do better and become better at. And so today I asked, you know, what should I train on? And somebody suggested self-discipline. And I said, that's actually really congruent with a lot of the things. Well, I didn't say this, I said it in my head. This is actually really congruent with a lot of the things that we went through yesterday. And so one of the ways that the day started yesterday, and then I'm gonna get into tactics, boom, 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 is Ed mentioned that successful people, they believe they deserve everything. And so I want you to kind of ask yourself, do you believe that you actually deserve everything? And there's a bit of humility that comes along with it, because he describes that you also need to have an amount of fear. Like, very successful people also have fear in their life around their success too. But he mentioned that never will you exceed what you believe about anything in your life. And you might want to write that down, right? Never will you exceed what you believe about anything in your life. And that's almost this invisible force, if you think about it, where it's your confidence, it's your self-worth. And the way you become amazing at anything is through radical self-discipline. And that really starts with doing things that most people aren't willing to do. And so when you look at people who are successful, if you look at people that you're learning from, if you look at people and you say, oh my gosh, how have they become the person that they are? It's often by disciplines that most people are not willing to do. Okay. And so the belief and the deserving and then the fear, he actually said something that I thought was wildly powerful, was that he still to this day believes that he could lose it all. And so kind of ask yourself in everything you're doing, do you still believe you can lose it all? And then on top of that, he said that every successful person has a fear of not achieving their potential. And I'm not, and this is just because you're listening to me right now, all of you watching this, but this is something that's very real. And if you are close to me, you hear this all the time. You'll hear, I know I'm successful, I'm not stupid, but there's a little bit of me that the only word I can think to use is I constantly complain that there's not enough. Okay. So I will always say, no, we are not cash flowing enough. And I cash flow more than a lot. That's just not enough. Right. I will say, no, we need to do more. We need to scale more. We're not creating enough. There's not enough, like, potentials are not being reached. I'm constantly doing this, and it's about myself, and it's also about people around me. And so sort of ask yourself, are you living up to what you're capable of? Are you living your life with intention? Are you deciding what you want out of your life and then the discipline showing up? And something a mentor of mine said forever ago, I didn't hear this yesterday at all, but you definitely want to write this down, is that the freedoms are inside of the disciplines. So the things that you want out of your life, do you want more money? Do you want more success? Do you want more happiness? Do you want more joy? Do you want more freedoms? Do you want more luxuries? Do you want to give more? Do you want to travel more? What do you want? It's found inside of the disciplines. And so when you look at very successful people, something, again, also I was trained on many, 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 many years ago, is show me your calendar and I can predict your life. Right? Show me your calendar and I can predict your life. And I remember hearing this in a conference 11 years ago, and I just wanted to barf when they said it, because they say, oh, who's got a calendar, right? Have any of you ever heard this before? They're like, who's got a calendar? And, you know, the whole room raises their hand. We've all got calendars. And then they drop a bomb like that on you. They say, oh, well, we've all got calendars. Show me your calendar and I'll predict your future. I'm like, oh God, I hope nobody's gonna ask for them to see my calendar, because my calendar's got like 2 appointments on it. My calendar's got 3 bookings this month. My calendar does not have scheduled stuff. And so scheduling every little nuance of your day, There was another coach who came on later in the day yesterday. His name is Coach Ben Newman, who I connected with him last night. And I connected with him a lot when he was coaching. Because he is a coach, right? So I don't know his actual background, but I'm going to look into him today in a deep way. But he was talking a lot about, he was talking so much about these disciplines, and he was talking so much about living this life where you're doing things that most people aren't willing to do. And I spoke to him because I said, I love when people are coaching you. I love when you get that aggressive thing. And a lot of people don't like the aggressive coaches. A lot of people, they hate this, but it really is the people that will push you. And so when you look at your calendar, I don't need to look at your calendar, but answer it for yourself. You know, he said something like, and I'll give this to you because you can all do this exercise right now. He said, what is one thing? I'm going to say it slow so y'all hear it, okay? What is one thing a day that if you did it in your business, it would change everything? And just like stop for a second and maybe think for 10, 15 seconds on it. Like, what is the one thing that if you would make sure that you were super disciplined in it, it would change everything? Not five things. What's the one thing? And then he said to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, that one thing that if you did it every day, what is the level in which you are doing it at? Just one thing. And he's like, I don't want to know what it is. Don't raise your hand and make yourself feel bad about it. He goes, but that one thing over the next 30 days, I want you to get really disciplined on it. I want you to get really, really disciplined on it. And I thought about it and I knew what mine was right away. Again, it doesn't matter what mine was, but you know, you can put it in the chat if you want to for accountability, or you could write it down in your notes while you're watching this. But can you commit to that for 30 days and then ask yourself the question again, what is the one thing? Because for a lot of you, it's that we make so many convenient excuses around that one thing. We push it off and we push it off and we push it off. And it's not usually anything that's difficult. Do you agree with me? So for some of you, it might be something like it's your exercise. You know you should exercise every day because it puts you in a better mood. You know you should exercise every day because you don't have the body you want. You know you should exercise every day because when you exercise, you get tremendous energy. I'm an example of exercise. Now, I am very disciplined in my exercise, but I'm very disciplined in my exercise and a lot of my life because if on days that I don't exercise, I'm just not a nice person. And I just don't do the work at the same level that I need to. I just don't. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Ed Milette was talking about every single morning before the sun is up, he walks. And in his neighborhood, which I was at his house yesterday, by the way, wow. Oh my God. Holy Toledo. Oh my God, you guys. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. The man has a motherfucking river in his backyard in Palm Springs, California. Like, I can't even talk about it. What is going on? Okay. It is the craziest. Okay. I was like all in my zone yesterday. This is the best. Okay. But one of his things is walking. And he said, there's only one other person in my neighborhood, and his neighborhood is full of all people whose names you know, okay? He said, there's only one other person, but this guy walks at least 8 to 10 miles a day. And I'm like thinking to myself, who the hell is walking 8 to 10 miles a day every day? And, you know, obviously taking calls, doing whatever, but he understands that moving his body is so important, and it's Phil Knight. Phil Knight. Phil Knight is worth $64 billion. Billion. So if you don't think there's a correlation to moving your body and the daily disciplines and the doing stuff that you don't necessarily think you have to do, but then you're like, maybe I really do need to do those. What is your one thing? And what I find is that when you find your one thing, you can compound on it. It starts to grow. And a lot of the times, the one thing that you wrote down is going to be your catalyst. Does this make sense to everybody? Am I making sense? I don't know. I'm making sense to me. So that's all that really matters to me, okay? But that turns out to be a catalyst a lot of the time. My waking up early by a certain time, getting my dogs out the door on a walk at a certain time, is the catalyst that turns my entire day to success. It's not actually my exercise. It's the getting up at a certain time and getting my dogs out the door. When my dogs are out the door and my dogs are fed, every single little thing follows. Boom, 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 boom. So what is that for you? Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's breakfast. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's water. Maybe it's a phone call you need to make. Maybe it's touching base with somebody. Maybe it's gratitude. I don't really know. But what are the things that you need to get disciplined on? And then you better start getting disciplined on them. Okay. So, I don't know. I could talk about so much stuff. This is ridiculous, right? But I want you to cultivate self-discipline, because otherwise what you're going to cultivate is a life of regret. You're going to cultivate a life of regret. You're going to look back and you're going to think to yourself, gosh, like if only I had shown up at those events, if only I had made those phone calls, if only I had done those live streams, if only I had done those TikToks and those reels and those Instagram posts and made those connections and done the networking and all this stuff, right? And I'm just telling you that there was a story again that Ed told yesterday, and he's never shared it publicly. He said on a stage before, but he said actually, his training was really powerful. It was about when you start losing your will, right? And it just chips away. Your confidence just chips away a little bit at a time. You don't even realize it. And there was a moment he had in his life when he was an insurance sales guy and he was driving a car without a seat in it. Like that, he had a driver's seat and there was no passenger seat, and he was in a really bad time of his life. And he just didn't push a sale the way he knew he should have. And there's something that Ed Milet is living with, a life of regret. He was selling life insurance. And instead of pushing it and saying, man, like your wife is 8 months pregnant and you have a 2-year-old baby, like you need this life insurance policy. You know, instead of taking that extra little push, he didn't push. He wasn't self-disciplined in it because something had broken his confidence a little bit the day before. And he shared the story. And literally the next night, because the family said, yeah, we want to do it, but we'll do it on Monday. Like, how many of you have heard an excuse like this before from a prospect of yours? Yeah, I'll follow up on Monday. Follow up with me on Friday. Follow up with me on Saturday. And you're like, yeah, okay. Instead of going for that disciplined close the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, he just let it lax. And you'll hear the story probably in the future from him, but I'll just tell it really quickly because I know not all of you follow him and not all of you will listen to the story. So I'll tell you now. So basically what happens is he leaves that person's house 4 hours later, the couple, and he named them by name. The couple leaves and they go on date night. They leave their 2-year-old with a babysitter, 8 months pregnant mother drives. There's a drunk driver across the lane on the highway in California, bobbing and weaving 100 miles an hour in between traffic, goes airborne, crashes into this car. Both people are dead on impact. The 8-month-old baby that was inside of the mother lives, but didn't have a life insurance policy. And so literally he said that every single time he hears a baby cry, he said he still thinks about it 26 years later. And so I want you to think about that, because sometimes we're not willing to make the pain of discipline but we're not thinking about the regrets you're going to have down the road. You're not thinking about the things and the implications of you not actually living up to your potential. And so that really hit me. I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what are those things where I've not been self-disciplined? And you don't think about the ripple effect of other people. Right? And maybe it's something you're selling to people. Maybe it's a business opportunity you're presenting to people. Maybe it's you and your health and wellness. Like, you don't think about it when you're skipping the gym and you're eating unhealthy and you're doing all these things because you're like, it's not that big of a deal. But is it a big deal to your family? Is it a big deal to the people you love? Is it a big deal when you can't show up at whatever because you're not physically capable to do it? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But the pain of self-discipline, I'm telling you, is worth it, because the pain of regret is much, much worse. And if you agree with that, hopefully you hear my heart on that. I'm not trying to tell you guys to do anything with your life, but I am telling you it is worth being disciplined, and that is where all the freedom is. And so Jim Rohn is one of my favorite mentors, and he said, we all must suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And so that's where I got that from. But that is obviously a Jim Rohn quote. And I just think to myself every single time, like, there's so much I don't want to do. There's so much I don't want to do. Hey, Nick, but there's so much that is worth it on the back end. And so you can wait for somebody to exercise discipline upon you. And I'm speaking specifically right now to a lot of you who are entrepreneurial, right? Where it's like, you can wait for your boss to yell at you. You can wait to lose your job. And somebody gives you, you know, somebody, you have to go scraping by and trying to find money or opportunities or whatever elsewhere. But, you know, like, people are always going to complain and people are always going to judge you for what you do, but you get to make the opportunity, obviously, to be disciplined. And so, you know, again, I'll give you another Jim Rohn quote around self-discipline, because again, he was my first mentor, but he said, everything of value requires care and attention. And so you're not going to have all the great things you want in your life if everything you think is going to come easily. And so there are sacrifices involved. I was listening to somebody a couple weeks ago and they were saying there's taxes for everything. There's taxes that you have to pay on your money you earn, but there's taxes and sacrifices you have to make for every single good thing in your life. So what are the sacrifices that you're willing to make, right? Because you really have to think about this. Think about how self-disciplined every major company has to be to deliver the quality that they want. Like, do you think that Apple is not super self-disciplined and everything? They suck. They drive me crazy when I go in those stores. Anyone else with me? You go in the Apple store, it's like, even if you have an appointment, man, they just can't get you in on time. And then there's a whole rigmarole process to get these things. But they're disciplined. They are a disciplined company. And when Steve Jobs was alive, everything around it, people thought he was mean. People thought he was too aggressive. People thought he was, you know, just too much. He's created a monster legacy, right? This monster company that everybody associates and affiliates with greatness. So you really need to think about this sometimes, okay? And so these huge companies, these monsters that you look up to in the world and in business, they they even have people that are responsible and disciplined in regards to their packaging, in regards to the shirts these people wear in the stores. You see this, right? They always wear the matching shirts when you go to Apple. All of this stuff. It's not that they want to necessarily wear that shirt, but I guarantee if they show up in a purple shirt on a blue shirt day, there's going to be repercussions. You know, like you have to be disciplined in what you're doing. And so much of the stuff we're doing, we don't think about, but if you wander around aimlessly and you just expect your life to fall into place, I don't know if you've noticed, but how's that going for you? Probably not too great, right? And I said this the other day, but you have to be somebody that's looking for solutions. You can't be somebody who's looking for problems. The way the human mind works is that it's this huge vacuum, right? Some of you will think I'm crazy when I say this, but most of you, I think, are into personal development, and so you're going to be right on track with me, right? But when you've got this huge vacuum, and so whatever you fill it with, it starts to create. Right? It starts to create. So if you're constantly looking for the positives, if you're constantly looking for the good stuff, if you're constantly looking for bigger and better and you're visualizing and you're seeing all this stuff, your mind starts to actually discipline itself for that. If you're looking for the negative, if you're looking for, oh, this is all happening, you know, to me, not for me, if you're looking for all the bad stuff around you, all you're going to see is bad stuff. It's like if right now I tell you, find something shiny. Look at something shiny on the screen. How many of you immediately saw either my watch or my necklace? You're like, wow, found it. Okay. But then if I asked you for something that's brown, you're gonna like, does she have anything brown? You're like literally having to search for it. Oh, I guess her eyes are brown. Right? I've activated your RAS. It's why when you buy a Tesla or something, you're like, no one in my area has a Tesla. You buy a Tesla the next day and every single car around you is a Tesla. You know, the superchargers are all of a sudden super full. So start looking, right? Start looking for what you actually want, because the discipline is actually a full-time job. Okay, every day I want to make excuses. I don't want you to think that my life is like, oh, I just love to wake up so early. I just love to work out. I just love to create content. I just love it so much. I just love running all these businesses. There's no stress ever. Okay, that is the absolute, that would be me bold-faced lying to you. Okay, my life is actually a bit in turmoil at the moment. The floor is ripped up. It flooded in here. Freaking Mateo, just ridiculous. We had to turn the fans off because I couldn't go live. They've got me in a hotel across the street because I can't stay here because it might be molding. We already know what happens with mold. It is just really crazy pants over here right now. But everything in my life is discipline. I'm willing to treat it like a full-time job. I'm willing to live by that calendar. I'm willing to live by that schedule. I'm willing to say, even put in my schedule, you know, stuff like eat, stuff like give gratitude, stuff like smile, all kinds of different stuff. It is accurate, right? Thank you. I appreciate that. It is so true. And we think sometimes that success is just, oh, people get lucky. Like, if you want me to fight you, try to tell me that it was luck. Try to tell me that I was like some chosen one for this. I just posted, I didn't think I was going to get into this, but you know, this is how this works sometimes. All right. I just posted my last reel, I think it is. I posted this reel, and at the end of it, I mentioned, or I'm talking about the recession and stuff like this throughout. And I talk about how everybody can come up with money for everything they want. And I will tell you why you can do that. You can do that because you're disciplined in that. You can do that because you find the value in that. You can find the money for anything that you want and anything that you need simply because you are disciplined toward getting that. If I told every single one of you, I'm gonna get you your dream car tomorrow, but you have to find me $1,000. Your dream car, I don't care if it costs $2 million, I'll buy you a brand new Bugatti, okay? But I need $1,000 by noon tomorrow. There is not a single person of you on here watching that will not find me $1,000. I guarantee it. So why do people go on my reel and they start yelling at me about, well, you're the 1%, you're the this. I'm the 1% because I took self-disciplined actions. And those of you that are struggling financially or whatever else, guess what? So was I. My question to you who are struggling financially or are struggling with whatever, how long do you want to have those same excuses for? You can tell I'm not reading notes. You can just tell I'm preaching right now, can't you? Right? Like, how long do you want to have the same excuse for? Because you can only make the same excuse so many times before people stop listening. And a lot of you have been making the same excuses for years. It's always a money problem. It's always a you don't know enough people problem. It's always a you're not good at social media problem. It's always the same problems over and over and over again. I just want to know, when are you going to come up with solutions? Maybe even just one solution. You don't have to have the solutions forever, like for years and years down the road. But can you fix at least one of these broken things? Or is everything about your life broken? Is everything just the world is conspiring against you? God can't stand you. Maybe you are literally creating that negative vacuum in your head, and then you're not being disciplined enough to get yourself out of it. Because you all know the story. Well, maybe you're new to me. If you're new, make sure you follow, okay? But you know my story. For those of you who don't, this whole crazy businesswoman started in a basement. I needed $300 a month to pay rent. And I realized being disciplined in a full-time job was not going to give me the money that entrepreneurship would. And so I sacrificed. I already talked about sacrifice, but I made sacrifices. I was so disciplined. People would ask me out to dinner. I'd say no. My friends would say, you want to go out for drinks? No. People would ask if I want to go to the fair? No. People would ask me if I want to do any of these things. The answer is no. The answer was no. I had to be so self-disciplined. I never had a drinking problem. I stopped drinking at 20 years old. I didn't drink from 20 to 31. Not because I had a drinking problem, but because I was more self-disciplined than you guys. I got rid of my 20s. I said, no, I don't need to party in my 20s. I need to fix this problem. I have a money-generating problem. I don't have income enough to come in. This is an issue. But not enough of us are disciplined enough to do it. And then we look at successful people and we go, oh, she's lucky. Oh, she's, she got something handed to her. Oh, she must have done this. She must have done that. He must have done this. No. They decided to make discipline a full-time activity instead of a bunch of excuses. And so I didn't mean to preach on you, but I just got to preach on you for a second. Sometimes the excuses have got to stop. I'll also say, if you want to have a better life, surround yourself with better people. Okay? This helps a lot with self-discipline because you start to watch disciplined people. And you, like I said about being with Ed yesterday, you sit around some of these people and you go, oh my gosh, their whole life is together. Like, and of course, no one's whole life is together. Sometimes this is a bit of a facade. Let's not act like anybody's perfect, okay? But I will tell you, it's like you watch some of these people and it makes you think. And I overheard a conversation. I met Gerard Adams, for those of you who know who he is. I've followed him online for a while, but we finally met yesterday around this little campfire. I went to say hi to Sean Whalen, and we took a photo for Saks and blah, blah, blah. So Gerard's there, and I was like, hey, Gerard, like, what's going on? My name's Jesse Lee, blah, blah, blah. Immediately hit it off, duh. You know, good conversation, whatever, whatever. And he's having a conversation with Jimmy Rex. Some of you might know Jimmy. And Jimmy is in a stage of his life where he's looking for a partner. And he said, so I got a question for you, Gerard. Like, how did you find your partner? So Gerard is engaged, okay? He said, how did you find your partner? Like, you know, when you look at some people and you, like, even people who are married, and you're like, why did you marry that person? That is not your person. Like, put in the chat if you know anybody like that. You know what I mean? Like, they're married and you're like, oh, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. This isn't the person. And then how many of you have seen a couple and you see them right away and you're like, yes. You know anyone like that? You can put a yes there for that too. You see him, you're like, yes. So Jimmy's having this conversation with Gerard, and he goes, I just see online, I look at you two together, and I go, yes. Like Gerard found his person. This person is supposed to build a life with Gerard, right? They got a baby and all this stuff and whatever, right? And so he says, so Jimmy goes, I'm just wondering, like, how did you know? You know, how did you know? And Gerard goes in this whole thing, and it was so cute because he's got that big goofy smile on his face when you're in love and you're talking about somebody, right? And he's like, oh my gosh, you know, yeah, she was hot, but it had nothing to do with that. Like, she's wicked smart and she just makes me a better person. He starts going into this, and Jimmy kind of asked for an example, you know, and he said, well, like what? And he starts talking about, you know, when they first started dating and they're reading together and blah, blah, blah. And then he says, but I'll tell you, it was like the second or third night, and you know, we're not sleeping, we're in the same bed, but like we weren't having sex or whatever. And like I said, I just don't want to leave. You know, I just don't, he goes, baby, I don't want to leave you. I know I have a meeting in New York for my business, but I'm going to push it off. I'll tell him I have to go next weekend. It's like not a big deal. And apparently what she did, I don't know her name or I would reference her name. She literally physically took her foot and kicked him out of the bed. Literally on the floor. He reenacts this whole thing, right? Kicks him on the floor and is like, are you kidding me? Like, you've got to go to this meeting. Like, that's so unattractive that you would even think that it's attractive to me that you would skip building a business opportunity to sleep, to lay in bed with me. And he's like, that's when I knew it. I was like, this is my wife. And I was like, that's so important. If you think about it though, who is around you and who is making you better? Who is helping you be more disciplined? Who is making you step into a better version of yourself? Or who do you have around you who is allowing you to make excuses? Who is around you who's allowing you to be lazy? Who is around you who's allowing you to not be ambitious, to not change the way you are, to not grow? And if you're in a relationship with somebody, a partnership with somebody, and you're not growing and getting better, you are dying together. I hope you realize that. You're literally getting worse in every single way if you're making excuses. And the problem with new relationships is that's what usually happens, right? You're like, oh, let's just go like eat cake for every meal. And let's just, oh, I'm not going to see any of my friends anymore. And I'm just going to, it's just you and me. It's so unhealthy. And I think sometimes we don't think about that. So self-discipline is not an easy option, but you cannot lose your goals. You cannot lose yourself. You cannot lose the growth. You cannot lose the stuff. And you've got to put yourself in situations that allow you to grow, allow you to stretch, because It's not the easiest option. The easiest option is usually a quick fix, but quick fixes are like sticking duct tape on a building. Eventually, it's going to break. It'll be strong for a while, and everyone talks about how great duct tape is. It's still going to fall apart. It's still just duct tape. Self-discipline is hard, okay? Self-discipline is really hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It sucks, right? It's easier to go to bed late, right? It's easier to sleep in. It's easier to show up late to stuff. It's easier to do half the work. It's easier to leave early. It's easier to go to McDonald's. It's easier to skip the gym. It's easier to not read. It's easier. All of this is easier. This isn't a lazy conversation at all. All of this is easier. I'm human. I have to set the alarm clock in my kitchen. This is a true story. That mofo goes off and I get pissed every single morning, okay? I have to pull myself out of bed just like the rest of you every morning. Oh my God. Because if I say, Alexa, turn off, oh God, now it's going to do something because I'm in the kitchen. But like, literally, it will turn off the one in my bedroom. It doesn't turn off the one over here. It's not even a solution, right? It's easier for me to say, oh, I'll just like skip that meal. I'll just do whatever. I'll just grab this. I'll grab that. I'll skip, like whatever. It's easier to just do enough than it is to do it all. It's easier to just do enough than to do it all. But guys, it's worth it to do it all. When you do it all, everything changes, right? When you do as much as you actually can, you start to actually reach your potential. And that's one of the crazy things. Again, I'll go back to Ed for a minute and I'll wrap this up. But spending time with Ed yesterday is just such a good reminder of, like, there's nothing special about the people that are crushing all of you in their personal lives, their professional lives, their physical lives, their mental lives, their spiritual lives. It's just they're extremely disciplined in it, right? They're showing up every single day. Ed has shown up every day for longer than I've shown up every day. Granted, he's much older than me, right? But I have a lot to learn from people like that. I have a lot of knowledge I can learn from people like this. And so we just show up more. We're just more disciplined. We say no to things that we want to say yes to because we have a long-term vision. So what is your long-term vision? And what is that thing, like I said at the beginning of this live, the one thing you need to do every day? If you missed it, just rewatch it, okay? What is the one thing you need to do every day? Because I'm just telling you, I love old people. And I don't mean old like 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. I mean old like on their deathbed, 90s, 100s, whatever. Old people. Because old people have one thing that you can't buy, and that is wisdom. Okay? And if you ask an old person, you say, hey, I was just wondering, you know, tell me about life. When they're on their deathbed, they're going to tell you about the things they regret. And they're going to tell you about the things they wish they had done. And so maybe you should think to yourself for a minute when you're having these moments, what are things that I am no longer going to regret? And it's hard. The discipline stuff is hard. It is hard to say no when you want to say yes. It is hard to say no when your friends are begging you to do things. It is hard, right? It's difficult to quit stuff you know you need to quit. Some of that is relationships. Some of y'all on here, you drink too much and you know it. Some of you on here, you do drugs too much and you know it. Some of you on here, somebody just said she quit her smoking, she quit her drinking, she quit everything. See? Yes. It sucks. I love that. It's MVRY. I don't know your name, or I'd just give you a full name shout out, right? Like, that stuff's hard. But do you want to be at the end of your life, you know, with a body you don't even recognize, with a brain that doesn't function the way you want it to, with whatever, think of the repercussions? No. You want to have wisdom that motivates people, not wisdom that makes people go, oh my gosh, I hope I don't make those same mistakes. So I could talk all day long about this, but I think I talked enough. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. If you haven't already shared it, make sure you do so. You can also comment below where you're coming in from. But I appreciate all your time, and I will upload this so you can share it wherever you need to. If you are new to me, make sure you hit the follow button. My name is Jessie Lee Ward. You can call me, I don't even say that anymore. It's Jessie Lee. You can call me Boss Lee or the People's Mentor. And I hope you got a lot of value out of this today. Go do something that you are currently not disciplined in today. That is your assignment. And I'm proud of you. Love y'all.